תפדל להיליגה פרק.
האישה, שהלך בעלה למדינת הים. Now, in this parak, we're going to get into the questions and ultimately how they would impact Yibam v'chalitza. I won't go too long in this, I know we're over time. So we're going to take a look at what the situation is in discovering that a husband has died. What consists of that discovery? Two witnesses, a court decision. At what point do we say that a husband has died? So our first concern in that issue is, at what point has a husband died to enable her to marry somebody else? To worry about the Yibam separately. Marrying somebody else. And, as we've seen earlier, we're very interested in how that relationship impacts her ability to inherit her ketubah. As we took a look at the relationship to the husbands also, which we did just recently in terms of shniyas, as to whether she has a schus to her ketubah, not a schus to her ketubah, where is a marriage considered licit to be given her ketubah, made a nafkamina, where it was illicit midiraisa, illicit midrabanan. Here too, we get into these questions. A woman, her husband goes away on a business trip. People show up from wherever, and they tell her, look, you know, it was a terrible tragedy. Your husband was killed in a plane crash overseas. She goes in and she gets married. Minisek. One day, her husband walks in. With now all the little kiddies from the second guy, you know, and so on. So it's 5 years later, and he shows up. Okay. So now, at this point, they'd say, Mizel, look, she cannot be married to either of them. Because but basically, she's the equivalent of an Eshet Ish, who went ahead and slept with somebody else. And in that case, she's a surah to her first husband. Even though in the case of an Eshet Ish, if she had been raped by somebody else, she would have been muteret. So a case of Anusa, where she had absolutely no way of avoiding the situation, for some reason, we're not calling her an Anusa over here. Now, we're going to have to see why that's true. Why don't we say this Anusa? People told her that he died, and she relied on those people. That's not the equivalent of Anusa. So she now cannot live with either of these men. She's Asura Leboel and she's Asura Lebaal. That's a classic case. But what's interesting is that the Rabbanan were mechayev to get a get for the second guy, although she clearly was never married to the second guy, because people don't know. And as far as people are concerned, they might have thought she had gotten a get from her first husband. They don't know the details. She was married to another guy. Now the husband shows up. She goes out without a get from the second guy? I mean, what am I supposed to conclude from that? That in a case where a woman wants to go back to her first husband so she doesn't need a get from a second marriage? So she needs a get from both of them. From the first one, Midiraisa, and from the second one, Midrabon. The Inla, and because of the fact that she was Mizana, she now has no ketubah, nor does she have Perot, nor Mizonot, nor Blaot, all the cases that we said earlier she loses. Lo Azeh, Lo Azeh. And what's more, the Imnatla Mizo Mizeh, let's say that she had already collected her ketubah. And at this point, and maybe she even gotten divorced from her second husband. You know, this guy shows up 5 years later. She's got to get the money back. Takzir. And what's more is Avlad Mamzer Mizer Mizer. All of her children from the second guy are obviously Mamzer and Midiraisa. If she goes back to the first guy, then her new children from him are going to be Mamzerim Midrabanan, because Rabbanan answered her from going back to the first guy over here, no matter what. To the point where they consider it to be mamzerim, not simply an isser lav. We'll talk about why that's true. The truth is it's a machlokes rishon. Tosfos says over here, even if she would get a get from the second guy, she still can't go back to the first guy because it looks again like a mazer grushato. So the rabbanon were geizer more than they were in other cases. Normally we don't say there's mamzer from the mazer, but here it is. The Rambam and others argue, and they say the only place where we say that it would be a mamzer min rabbanon is if she never got a get from it. Because as far as people could say, she's still married to the second guy because they're thinking she got a get from the first guy. So now she goes back to the first guy without getting a get from the second guy, so it looks like she's producing mamzer. She's an eshet ish from the second husband. But if she had received the get, why would we be more machmir on her than we would be on a normal mamzer grushato? That's the most that people are going to think. So according to the Rambam, when the Mishnah says mamzer mizeh mizeh, means if she went back without a get. The end, lo zev is a metameila, they are not allowed to be metame to her as kohani if she dies. Lo zev is a zakaim, nor do they get the schuyot that they normally would get. Normally a husband gets a right to the things that a woman finds and to the money that she makes when she works. This, of course, is in exchange for his support of her, which over here is not forthcoming. And the mitziot is a din in shalom bayis. And over here, we're not interested in Shalom Bayis. L'lo ba'afarat nidareah, and nor does he have a right to be made for her nidareah. Hayta bat Yisrael, if she was a bat Yisrael, she's never allowed to marry a kohen. She gets the din of a chalalah. She's been sleeping with a man as a married woman, and therefore, of course, that's like the height of niyuv. And bat Levi, according to Rabbi Meir, she becomes tzula from Meiser. If she's a bat kohen, she becomes tzula from Truma. Ve'in yorshim shel zeh ve'yorshim shel zeh yorshim et ktuvata. The Gemara is going to ask, what ktuvata? There is no ktuvata. So we will see that one of the fascinating tnaei ha'ktuva is that it gives special rights to male children that she has from a marriage above and beyond the children of that husband from any other woman in things that had once belonged to her if she dies before he dies. And that's called ktuva benim dichrin, but we'll see more about that in the Gemara. Ve'im meitu, achiv shel zeh ve'achiv shel zeh. If her husbands die, then the first husband's brother obviously has to do chalitza midiraisa, because it's really even yibum midiraisa, because I mean she's completely married to midiraisa. However, we don't allow yibum because midirabbanan are not married at all, right? She's now asura to him, so he can't do yibum, but he has to do chalitza. But even the second husband is not really a husband at all, but because of our gzera, same way we required her a get, we required also chalitza. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ketuvata, on this say Baal HaRishon. Rabbi Yossi says, I disagree with you. She still has a ketuvah on the first husband. Rabbi Eliezer says, I disagree with you about something else. I say, the first husband still has rights to her mitziot, and to Masi Adayim, and to Afaras Nadarim. And Rabbi Shimon says, I got news for you. I disagree about the chalitza part. Biata o chalitzata miachiv shalishon, poteret sarata, I say, that it's viewed as a completely kosher chalitza. So if there's another woman who had been married to that husband who did not get chalitza, the chalitza of this woman who's been sleeping with this other guy for the past 10 years, potters the tzora from any problems of yibum. And furthermore, ein avad mimenu mamzer. I disagree with this business of making the child from the first one a mamzer. She's viewed as being married entirely to the first one. We'll see what the machlokas in these four shittas basically we'll see in the Gemara. Now, all of this, however, says the Mishnah, this is weird. If she got married without the Rishus of Besdin, then she's even allowed to go back to her first husband. But if Niseit al Pi Besdin, if she got married with the Rishus of Besdin, then she indeed loses the rights to her husband, but she also doesn't have to bring a carbon. Because a carbon she only brings if she was a Shogeget. And over here, she's not viewed as a shogeget because she followed the Ra'at Beit Din. So she's viewed now as an anusa, basically. So she does it with Rishus Besdin. So she's put from a carbon. Lo niseit al pi Beit Din, if she did not get married utilizing the Besdin, teitzei v'chayevet b'karbon. Now this is strange. Like I said before, im niseit shelo b'rishut muteret lachzor lo. Okay, we're going to have to understand what this Mishnah is talking about in the Gemara tomorrow. Yotze Kohar Besdin. Now, Kohar Besdin does give her an advantage. Kohar Besdin is that she's Pturim in a carbon. However, don't think that the fact that the Besdin was matir her now to get married means that suppose she goes around and shacks up with some guy and never does get married, that she can say, well, but the Besdin said I wasn't married. So don't give me this business of I had no right to sleep with this other guy. I mean, what I do in my bedroom is my own question, my own problem. The shayla of whether I'm married, that may be your problem. Besdin already passed him that I'm not married. They said I can go marry this other guy. So I didn't marry the other guy. So what? So I went and moved into Charlie's house. But I'm certainly not an HSH. Not true. If Besdin was martyred, the specific case of her being allowed to marry Lazy, and she goes and ends up moving into Charlie's house, the Rishus of Besdin is not a general psak, that she's not married. The Rishus of Besdin means exactly what it said. She followed a psak of Besdin. The psak of Besdin said she could marry Levi. She didn't do that. She derived from the fact that they said she could marry Levi that she's not married. That's her own determination. That's not called the Rishus of Besdin. And in that case, she's chayeves bekorban. Shelo yitirua elolina se. The most that Besdin allowed her to do was to go and get married. Let's just concentrate a little bit on this. The only way to understand that is that if she got married, meaning she didn't require the Rishut of Beit Din, she has to go to Beit Din for Ipsak. Witnesses were showing up, everybody knew. I mean, there were dozens of people that knew their husband died. You have to go to Beit Din for Ipsak. When you know that you're an almana, what's the point of going to Beit Din? So she knew she was an almana. So over there, it's not the case where whereas it was in the Reisha that she had a sock of Besdin as to what to do. Now, why things should be worse than Besdin, guess what? That we'll have to see. But in any event, so if she didn't require a psak of Besdin, she went ahead and she got married on the basis of Edim, so then none of this applies. In that case, they'd say, obviously she can't remain married. She has a right to go back to her original husband, and the whole thing was a terrible, terrible mistake. But what was she? What do we expect of her? It's like the equivalent of a rape. I mean, she was a nusav. How could she know otherwise? Niseit al pi beitin. Now, there's another difference between al pi beitin and shlo al pi beitin, which actually tends in the opposite direction. Because although we say she's an anusa, that is anusa in terms of the din of rape. She was overpowered by the fact that there were witnesses that were saying, and she's not mechuyev to do more than that. However, vis-a-vis the chiyav of a korban, it's certainly not considered to be force majeure. He wants to try to korban. If it would have been shayach to wait and to see whether people were coming, then there certainly were ways to avoid the iser. So if she goes ahead now and she doesn't have a heter of bezdin, so then in those cases where she was loni seital pi beitin, in the cases where she required a heter of bezdin, so then in a chinami she would be chayevet in a korban. And if she was niset al pi beitin, so then in a chinami she has to be teitzer. But she's considered to be an anusa, because a person has a right to be semich on the psak of bezdin, and the yochid, who relies on the psak of bezdin, is considered to be potter. I mean, that's something that we're going to have to look into in more detail. It's not always absolutely the case, but we'll see when we get to Hurias what the circumstances are. Whereas if she was niset shelo al pi beitin, so then they say v'chayevet b'korban. Yafikar beitin shepotrem not korban. What is valuable about the psak of bezdin in these cases is there even where there would have been now a heter for her, but if she has a heter of bezdin, she doesn't bring a korban, even though in the other case she would be considered an anusa. However, let's not misunderstand when we say heter of bezdin. Heter of bezdin doesn't mean a psak that you're not married. Heter of bezdin means to do the particular act. Only then are you considered to be a acting al pi beit din, not your svara. Must be, if they told me I could get married to this guy, so it must be I'm not married. So therefore, I'll go and I'll move into George's house. That they didn't tell you to do. So that's not called a mistake al pi beit din. Therefore, haru beit din linasev al chava kilkala, chayevet ki bekorban. When we say yochid sha'asa, the maisa that Bezdin said, not that it had some reliance on Bezdin saying that something is mutter asa, that's a whole different can of worms, which is over there. We know how to rabba. That it's considered to be a shoget. A shoget person thought that he had a right to rely on Bezdin. Who says you have a right to rely on Bezdin? So over there, she's chayevet the korban. Shaloi tivua elalinase. Okay, now it starts the Gemara on today's learning. Miriktoni seif anisei shelo b'reshut. Muteret lachzor lo. Okay, what does that mean? I mean, it says over here, but if she gets married without permission, then it's not a problem. It's obviously ridiculous. Unless it means that she didn't need reshut. So that's the only way to understand that safer. So in other words, so what it's saying is shalob reshut beitin, obviously, but using edim. Okay. So then when the reisha gave us all of these rules about teitzin, what was it referring to? It was referring to a case where you didn't need reshut. So you had reshut bezdin, and so that means that the bezdin paskin, in other words, I'll be edim, because it was shnei edim, and reshut bezdin is irrelevant. The woman walks in and says to the bezdin, I'm an almonic, and I get married, but look at her like, what are you talking about? But there's a question in your mind whether an almana is allowed to remarry. What's the problem? So when it says you had a psak bezdin, the pshat of psak bezdin is that you didn't have any. So in other words, the bezdin was paskining al pi'ed echad, which means that it must be that an eid echad is never under these circumstances. We're talking about an eishas ish. Now, how do we rely on an eishas ish? Do we monitor an eishas ish? And the truth is that we find the chalal that there's. That it says beferish, but forget about your deal. I mean, it's a beferish and mishnah. It's not nami huzakul yosmesin al piyed echad. There was already a kabbalah of the psak became the normative psak that you can be masia a woman if you only have one witness, and not only that, but it would be al aid mi pi aid, isha mi pi isha, isha mi pi evad, umi pi shibcha. Sometimes you have a single, you don't need kosher aiders. You have an aide who is giving over here, say, evidence. I heard from Joe that so-and-so was killed in a crash. And not only that, yet it doesn't even have to be a person who under other circumstances would be kosher to be mitzarif to kosher aiders either. It could be even a woman comes to Bezdin and says that I heard from my friend that Carol, she says that she was there, she saw this guy get in a crash. And not only that, it could be an ishim from an evan, from a shifcha. I mean, these people have known their amonis in court if we required shnei edim. So in other words, we're saying that we don't need a din of Aidens. I'm an Aid Echad Behemah. So you see from here that there is a somehow or other Diraisa that this Aid Echad is believed in. How could that be? And we have other examples. This is not the only example. It's not Nami. Aid Echad Omer Achal Techelev. V'hu Omer Lo Achal. But if an Aid says to a guy, you ate Chelev, and he says, I didn't eat, so then he doesn't have to bring a Korah. But let's say that if he hadn't said, I didn't eat, then it's time to Omer Lo Achal. It's only because he says, I didn't eat Ha'ishti. Suppose the guy is just quiet. So I don't know, you say it's Chelev, Zalzayin, it's Chelev, what do I know? I had a good hasher on it. So over there, you're saying that he's Nema. I said, I'm going to go in, I'm going to bring Chulin Lazor, I'm going to be feeding Iser Gomer to all the Kayanim that are going to be involved in it. But I mean, it's fine, because an Eidach, why should we trust the Eidach? It means we're creating a situation of Isurim, we're telling a guy to do Isurim, because one guy said that you're chayav to do this in the mail it says. I don't know, is that so partial? I mean, where do we get that? I'm an Eid Echad Behemah D'Oraisa. I mean, all of these cases show us that there must be a basis of Emunah and an Eid Echad, even the D'Oraisa. I mean, no, where does it say such a thing? Last I heard, the Pesukim seem to be Makhla, Bishmeid, Mishlosha, even the one. What's this Eid Echad business? Titanic. Well, actually, there's a drusha like this. Oh, hoda elab chatato. What's the pshat? In a case, what's a chayav a person being a carbon chatat? Oh, hoda elab chatato asher chata vevi korbano and so on and so forth. Now, the hoda elab chatato means that hoda elab became known to him through his own inner processes. What is it he discovered? So he became aware of his own chait. Not that somebody should tell him, you did a chait. Maybe I did. I mean, I don't know. Lo shod yu achirim. Now, yochav afa pishenu machisho. You might think the point is over here that even though he's quiet and doesn't say, I didn't do it, he ate patur. So you might think that that means that he hears what the guy says, and he can't say to him, you're wrong. So you might think, oh, hoda elav chatato excludes that case. Therefore, Talmud Omar, oh, hoda. Hoda means it was became known to him through someone, right? So it's both elav and it's hoda. So what's the pshat? Mikom makom. So now, what's the case over here? It's obviously it's telling us that if the person, in hearing from the other person that he ate chelev, considers that to be, I don't know, if you said so, so Zion. I can't tell you it wasn't chelev. I don't have a good action. So over there, we would believe him. Now, is it talking about two people or one people? Let's try to figure out what the case was. Echidani. Ilei meda'atu treva. Two witnesses come along, and he says, I don't know. And so he's not makrish. I need a pasuk for that. I need a pasuk to tell me that if I know that I have a chatas, I have to bring a chatas. What exactly is the chiddush of the pasuk of alav chatasom? The korol amali el alav. The whole point of the pasuk could only be that I would have thought I don't have a right to proceed in doing iser of bringing a carbon chatas because one guy told me. Kamashu on the pasuk. Even if hodai alav chatato, it's not that he actually knows it 100%, but he's satisfied that it's a look. You say it was Chelev. I mean, I simply don't have any more information. So over there, you see that Shema Mina ate Echad Ne'eman. Wait. How do you know that it's because he's Ne'eman? If the guy doesn't respond, and he's truly shasid, so Pshat is, maybe the point over there is that Shtika Kohoda Adam. Maybe that's the point. You'll ask me, what do I need a pasuk for? I mean, if the Manashah, Shtika Kohoda, so then I'm back where I started from. We were asking Lama Likro. You told me, I need a pasuk to tell Shtika Kohoda. Either it is or it isn't. I mean, whatever the case may be. So the Achronim are machalic between the idea of Shtika Kodo when it comes to Mominus, where a person can be machayit himself, Mominus, or a Shtika Kodo when it comes to Issa. But the fact is that the nature of Bechlal, of the Shtika over here, could be also, when we say Shtika Kodo, it doesn't mean necessarily that it's, I'm saying 100% I know. Okay, so it means that maybe in a case where the person indicates that he has a chash, the guy is right. I mean, that's why we're makabel, but not that we can really rely on him. I mean, Taida, look, how do you understand the continuation? The continuation makes that clear, no? It goes on to say over here, Omru Shnayim Achalta Chelev. So say two people would say you ate Chelev. And he says, Lo Achalti. So he's Potter. We'll see why he's Potter in a moment. Normally we believe to wait him. What do we care what he says? Rebbe Meir says, no. What do you mean? You have to wait in your Chayim. Says, Rebbe Meir, I understand you. Let's say the two Eidim were saying that you did something b'meis in your chayav misa, and he says, no, I didn't. So we're going to say, oh, well, he's not the Eidim, no, I didn't, so I guess he goes free. Understand? So if the two Eidim can bring him to a chayav misa, which is chamura, certainly more chomer than the problem of whether he's going to bring now a karmel chatas, I mean, so if he's saying, no, I didn't, lo yabiyu l'kei korban hakal, why are you possibly telling me that they shouldn't be chayav korban? Omru lo, so they said to him, it's a nice svara, but let me ask you something. The Edim don't really know what's going on in his head. Right? So suppose he said, I ate it, amazing. I'm going to call you a carbon. So what are we going to do? We're going to say, no, they said you ate it. And how do we know you ate it? Obviously, we'll say, well, if you ate it, amazing. You can't bring a carbon. It's if you're right, you can bring a carbon. So my beer itself, Omar, amazing. The guy would have said, amazing. So then he wouldn't have been able to bring a carbon. So some learn that this is begetter and regular mega. Since he has the Migo, so therefore he's Neman against the Aiden to say, Lo Achalti Pechal. Tosfos Taina is that doesn't make any sense because we don't ever accept the Migo B'mokam Aiden. All we're saying over here, since he could have said, but that isn't what he said. Therefore, the Tosfos understand that the meaning of Ma'im is that we basically explain his words to mean that. The guy's saying, Lo Achalti. Doesn't want to say Achalti Mezi. Basically, what he's saying, look, it's not what you think. I didn't need it to be Machayev a Karb. And that's the chat. So in other words, yeah, it could be, you're right, I ate it, but I knew what I was doing, so I don't bring a carb. But it doesn't work with Migo B'makamed in this case. It works with Tartzim D'morah. So in any event, now let me ask you now, let's analyze this case with its implications for the ratio. So you're telling me now that if the guy was Shotek, so over there the Rabbanan said that he is Chayev, right? So my time come Chayev Rabbanan. Even if he shouldn't be Hema, I don't understand. In the case where there's two witnesses, and the guy says that lo achalti, so over there we're saying that we accept it because of amigo, because we're metarets, what it is that he said. Okay, so then, if that's the case, so then why over here is any different? You're telling me that they accept what it is that he said. Normally, when two people come, and he would be makrish there, they would be believed. Nonetheless, there are one and pater. So it must be that the case, it didn't say what he said, but it must be the case is that he didn't say no, obviously. Otherwise, why would we believe the single guy? Elala mishum de ishti. So it can't be because of an amonis, because we're two people we don't even believe. Must be only because he was quiet. So then that means that what is different over here is because of the shtika per se. It's not a question of an amonis or the aid. It's a question of whether or not this guy has agreed to the aid. So it must be because shtika ko da'adamya. So therefore, don't bring me a raya from the sugi of a carbon chakas or daila chakas and so on. Because obviously, in the case where we would have two aid and we would normally be believed, so over there, we accept the fact when he says, he is saying lo against Rabbi Meir's farm. So then, when one person says that he ate it, the only reason that we're accepting that one person is because he didn't say no. That's all. What does that have to do with this case? This case, we're taking a single aid. It's nothing to do with saying no, we're saying yes. We're taking a single aid. We don't know any information. She's coming into Beis Din. We're telling her, okay, go ahead and get married. Your husband's dead because there's a single witness. I mean, well, how does that work? Well, must be that. I mean, it's just a svara. I mean, basically, if I don't know what I'm doing, let's say it's a piece of meat over here. Zav chaticha, which is a suffix shal chelev, suffix shal shul. I don't know how to proceed. Comes along one echa, one eight echa, and he says, bori li the shumanu. So he says, I know, I do know. You don't know, I do know. So in other words, it's a davar parsha to us that the Torah basically allows us to trust one another. The Torah doesn't say, you can't go into somebody's house and eat a meal there because you didn't check the animal yourself. So how do you know it's kosher? Unless, of course, you happen to eat him. Does that make sense? And did I have to aid him? That no milk fell into it when it went into his kitchen? And I mean, I understand. If we don't accept that the Torah allows us to proceed on the basis of the best information that we have, I mean, we might as well give up. I mean, it's a double question. But the only place that the Torah is telling us that we need to aid him is where we've got a situation that we know for a fact is different. We have to now change something. But normally, if I don't know what's going on, I'm missing the information. Obviously, a guy could give me a piece of meat and say, hey, I checked the lungs, everything's fine, it's kosher, eat it. So this is exactly the chaticha sefer shachel of sefer shoshuman. Comes along an eight after, he says, bari le shoshuman, which happens 100 times a day to every person in this room. Anything that you're doing is because you're being segment on the person that he's nema. So here too, why isn't that the same thing? So over here also, well, I mean, over here also, what are you talking about? The whole point over there is, I have no reason to think something's not kosher. I just don't know. So somebody's coming along and saying, oh, it's kosher, you can eat it, fine. And over here, I have no reason to think that this woman is asura, except for the fact that she's been married for 25 years. But I have no reason to think she's asura. So you're coming along now and telling me, well, one guy comes along and says, no, don't worry about it, it's fine. What are you talking about? Why should I not worry about it? I can't change the situation where it was Yitzchazik Yisura. So over there was Lo Yitzchazik Yisura. Halka Yitzchazik Yisura Deish Hasid. First of all, it's not even comparable. That's how the Rishonim learned this piece. First of all, it's not comparable because Lo Yitzchazik Yisura, in that case, we're Neid Arif and Zneman. Here Yitzchazik Yisura, but besides that. Are you not aware of the fact that when it says Apishnei Adim, Davar, Davar is always Davar Shebe'erva. And over here we have a Davar Shebe'erva. Don't go bringing me rayas from a Chaticha of Basar, which I'm worried maybe it's Taylor. The Torah says when it comes now to the dinim of an Isha of a Baala, Ein Davar Shebe'erva Pachot Mishnai. We have no right to paskin without two witnesses. So what's going on in our Mishnah? What do you mean Rishus Bezdin? Rishus Bezdin based on what? I mean, you want to look at the case. I'll show you, forget about it, even if it's not at the Varavah. You want to take a look even at the first issue, whether it's Chazik Yisura. Suppose you have a Chaticha which is Varai Chalev. You know that it's Chalev. Comes along in Eid Echad and he says, no, it's not Chalev. Obviously he's not believing. What do you mean, you know it's Chalev? Of course he's not believing. What do you mean, waves a magic wand and say, I hear my W fish? What is that supposed to mean? Also, I feel a lot to be now. I don't care if 100 people come along and they say, no, it's not Caleb. I know it's Caleb. They told me it's not Caleb. You can't change the reality. That's a ridiculous case. I mean, over there would be even Asa be Me'alaman. Okay, even Asa be Treva Emne. I mean, over here we're not questioning the fact that her situation could have changed. That is certainly true. I mean, if two people would have come and said she died, so then fine. He's no longer an agent. But two people can't come along and say, we've decided it isn't Caleb. You're saying you know the piece is Caleb. So your comparison is an absurd comparison. So therefore, maybe in this case also, so chad nami lehenne. Look, I mean, we have cases of Yitzchazik Yisura. Don't give me this stuff of Yitzchazik Yisura. I walk into somebody's house, and he gives me a cup of wine. And you're telling me it wasn't Yitzchazik Yisura? This wine was once tethel. I mean, that's for sure. There's no way it could have become kosher without somebody needing to say, now it's kosher before it was treif. Exactly the same situation with the HSC. She's married, and they're saying, now she's not married. So, tethel, or how about hegdish? A guy's telling me he was paid or something. Or how about konamis? Is somebody made a neder? Das or something? Banos is coming along and he's saying, oh, don't worry about it, I was shayel on the neder. Changeable situations, which are isurim gemurim midiraisa, such as an HSE, a changeable situation, which is, therefore, isurim midiraisa, and nonetheless over there, we would in fact believe in eight efforts. Don't tell me we don't accept eidus in a mokum dischazik isura. Well, I'm not so sure that I understand your proof. What are we talking about? Don't tell me the case of tefach. But what's the case of tefach? Hechidami. E, didei, who owns this wine? I go into a guy's house and giving me the wine. So he's telling you, don't worry, it's kosher wine. You can drink it. Of course, that's Mishum to be Adol Atakno. Where the person who's telling me is the person that's able to create the reality of its being mutter, I understand that. There I accept. He's saying, this reality was in my hand. You can rely on me. Ella, what are you saying? That it was somebody else's tevel? I know this was tevel. And now a guy comes along and he says to me, well, I know that this was taken care of. He took off Trumas and Maestros. So it's the Acher. So my Kasavar. First, let's decide what does he hold. Does the Mandioma who said, Midi the Havi, does he hold that Terem Mishalosh Shavach Haveiro? Can I fix Tevel of somebody else? I'll take my own wine. And I'll say, you know what? I don't know if I really rely on this guy. I'll take off my own wine to be Mater his wine. Yeah, I don't need the Das of the Bible. Okay, so then we believe him again because it's as if he's the owner. If he wanted to be Metaken, he could be Metaken. In those cases, the Torah says to rely on a person who could be Metaken. He's telling you it's kosher, it's kosher. But if we're talking about Sarif Paspal, that he does need the guy's permission, and all he's saying is, I know that it's kosher, it was Metukan. So then that's what I'm asking you. He grew for me, no, I understand. I asked you, how do you know that in a case where it was Yichazi Yisurek, and it's not biyodeh to be mitakein, such as the case of the Ashes issue, for that matter, the tevel is no different than that. You're telling me, what do you mean? Just like it is by tevel. What tevel? His own tevel. It's irrelevant. Another guy's tevel where he has reshus to go ahead and... It's irrelevant. What does that have to do with it? How am I going to be matir? All I can do with the Ashes issue is tell you what happened. Then we're back to Ashes again when it's not biyodeh. So that's not a very good raya. I have as much question about the case of Tevel, which is not biyodeh, as I have about the case of the Eshetish, which is not biyodeh. So you're telling me, Midi Dahavi, I'm asking you, where's the Midi Dahavi? Where does it say that about Tevel? Explain where that came from. And the next case, Hegdish. Okay, well, what's it talking about? What kind of hegdish? Hegdish nami. What? We're talking about kedushas damim. Okay, kedushas damim. Anybody can walk into the gizbar and say, I would like the pay to be able to take that teifetz, and I'll give you the money. So the gizbar will say, isn't right? You know, give me my price, and you're welcome to it. You can be paid at kedushas damim. So it's beyond all of daysay. So that's the same thing as the temple. You're telling me it's not hegdish anymore. It's public. Thank you very much. Of course, I believe it because he could do it right now in front of me too. If it's talking about kedushas aguf, now there I'm back to the same problem. You're telling me kedushas aguf, it's okay. It's no longer hegdish. How is it no longer hegdish? Well, what happened to it exactly? I was shoyel on my neder that made it hegdish. Oh, it's yours? So okay. If it's his, so ain't a chinami. But that's because you can always go and be shayol your neder. So we would say, look, I mean, the reason I believe him obviously is because it's considered to be yodai, just like it was a yodai to be talking to the devil. Ella what? It's talking about another guy's carbon. And he's coming along and reporting, I know for a fact that he was going ahead, yadana beidishtel morale, the owner of this carbon. He went ahead and he went to Bezdin and he said, look, I have charata, I really didn't want to bring this carbon. So on. Fine. So then I'm asking you, how do you know that? That's the same case of the HSE. That's something that was a surah. Just like an ancient season, there's Surah B'Kiddushin. Hareyat Asur L'Kuli Amak Hegdash. He told me, I'll bring a rye from Hegdash. How do you know Hegdash? It's exactly the same question. What's the case of the Konamot? What's the din by Konamot? Konamot Nami. Guy makes a neder to ask or something. Now there's a machlokis with a yeshmi yelab a Konamot. If you hold that when I make something awesome, that I create truly a state of Kiddushas Dami Mani, because I'm using Konim. Konim is Lashon HaKorah. Yes, I'm saying, in other words, that this thing should be Hegdash on you. And if you'll eat it or have anah from it, so then you're going to be over on Isra Mi'ila. So it's like a Kedushas Dami. If it's a Kedushas Dami, so then again, it's Mishum Diyodah Livdota. If you hold that it's Shayach Mi'ila, then it's also Shayach to be paid at something which is Aser B'Konamot. Tosis points out that this is only true if the Konim was a case in which it was a Konim Mekulion. Somebody Asers a Chefetz B'Hanah in the world. So then, indeed, it's Shayach Pidyon, if you hold that it's like Me'ila. But this answers a lot of questions where there seems to be steers about whether we would say in this case, V'yada L'Gdaisa. V'yika Sava E'mila B'Kononot. And if you're going to tell me it's not like really Hegdash Tamim, it's like an Yisra V'yamo, the Rosh of Lu'akatve. He put an Yisra hanging on his shoulders. That's the shot. Okay, so I'm asking you. You're telling me I have a right to believe a guy who said, this Chayfetz was Osir with an Yisra Neder, and yeah, and if it's his, it's Mishum the other Lichulele. And I went and I asked, fine, then I believe you. You're telling me you're the owner, you're the one who made the netter, you're the one who created the Yisra. It's Biyodah to be Mata the Yisra. That's the same case as the Tebal that we had before, or the Hegesh that we had before. Yeah, so that's okay. So it has nothing to do with the case of the Yeshazish. Ella, you're talking about Mide Dahavi. Why shouldn't I believe it by the Yeshazish? Just as I would have believed it by Konomas of somebody else's Konom. And he says, Ana Yadan, I know that he has done it. I'm asking you. That's the case I'm asking you. He goof, I mean, Allah. I've asked you, how do you know about it, HSH? I'm going to ask you the same question. How do you know about Konamos? Where do you get the idea that somebody can tell me information about what somebody else did that will allow me to be Matur and Isser that we know was us? Omer Ebizera, you're right. The truth is, this whole thing is basically not an extension of the normal dinim of Eidus. It's a special din mirabonim. What happens over here is that Bezdin said, look, because of the fact that if this woman went ahead and asked us what to do, we're going to paskin for her that she's allowed to get married. But we're also going to paskin for her. You better well know that your husband is dead. That's all we can tell you. We're not hiring the detective agency. But you're pretty stupid if you don't, because if he turns up, you are finito for your rest of your life. You lost your first husband, you lost your second husband, you lost your ksuva, you don't have a dime in your name, your children are mamzer. I mean, you are really up the creek without a paddle, so you better know what you're doing. So in other words, we rely on her, really, to find out the truth and not to take this risk. Based on that, we'll be mad to her. So what do you mean? So then don't be mad to her and don't be mad to her. I understand. Well, who needs your favors? I mean, but you're creating now a heter for something that has no heter because it's a chumna. Who asked you? Lo lichmer lo leiko. Don't give her the kula, don't give her the chumra. We need to give her the kula. We need to give her the kula because otherwise we're stuck with women who are gunais. People disappear all the time. So we get back partial information. Somebody knows. If we are not going to be able to rely on that partial information, so we're going to be stuck with tens of thousands of women who are not allowed to get married. Therefore, the takana that we make is a takana to be ma'amin. But we can only be ma'amin if there's a basis for that emuna. That basis would have to be the incredible chorma that we're marking around the end, which explains the Mishnah. If she got married based on the D'oraisa, she didn't get the rishus of Beis Din. Forget about it. None of that applies. I mean, so then, of course, I mean, well, she did something. She was going according to best information. She had a right to do it. But D'oraisa, she's an almana. I mean, turns out she's not an almana. Then so fine. So she'll leave the guy that she thought was her husband and go back to her first husband. I mean, what's it? She didn't mean to do anything wrong. Why should she lose her tzuva? Why should she be punished not to be able to go back if he's a Yisrael, not a Kohen? There should be no problem. But if we need to create a mechanism whereby we will be mater, shalom kedin, to go ahead and to get married, then we need to institute a mechanism that allows us to do that. And the question is, of course, how can I institute a mechanism? She's an ancient ish, Rabbanu be mater, an ancient ish, what kind of crazy mechanism is this?
So she would be
better off by not entering the Well, only not if she didn't do her research. That's why she does her research if this doesn't happen. A woman will not take the chance to get into this situation. And therefore, she's not just going to listen to the Yedecha. She's going to be Chokeret, Vidoreshet. She's going to hire detectives. And she's going to go search the internet. And she's going to find out exactly what happened.
And,
what?
She can do all that.
But she has no right to marry based on her research. She needs a Heter Bezdin. No one will marry her. They'll say, you're an Eish Ish. Who says you're not an Eish Ish? The internet? I rely on the internet? So that's what we're asking now. What kind of mechanism is this? But it certainly is a mechanism that's instituted only by Beis Din. That's the point. So your question is now answered. So now we're back to my question. So my question is, the obvious question in the Gemara is, how do you institute a mechanism which is connected to the halacha of the Oraisa? So there are some Rishonim who learned, it's actually Rashi says not here, but elsewhere, that this is all based on the fact that the Rabbanim have a keh, the Eifer Kiddushin. So the Enochinami, this is magic. Since a person, when he gets married, he's only Mekadosh Adayit to the Rabbanim. So the Rabbanim are able to be Eifer Kiddushin Limafreya from him and say, look, we don't accept Kiddushin of people who end up disappearing.
But then it wouldn't be a problem at the end.
But we still have to create a mechanism for us to do that kind of thing. They'll do that kind of thing arbitrarily. So for Igun, and including the fact that we have 99.9% proof that the guy is dead, that satisfies us. Okay, in that case, we'll be over his kedusha. But certainly, the birur is not in itself a mechanism.
But even
the birur is a mechanism for us to be willing to be over the kedusha. But it's not the mechanism of the heter per se.
In other words, the one witness plus that she will check. But still, then if you're okay to Kedushin, then why say to me, the Kedushin was wrong?
Because otherwise, we wouldn't have any reason to trust her to do the research. She'll come at the president, she'll say, you know, poor me.
No.
I am an aguna. Like, we're going to do all the time. And if you don't say that I'm Luteris, I'm going to go to the papers.
Yeah. So she has an Adafa.
Adafa doesn't prove anything to us. Why would we trust an Adafa?
So I'm saying, if they were okay to Kedushin, so then why is he turns out? It's takes him exactly that. And at that point, the Chazal were okay to Kedushin anyway.
You're right. So why would it be an end in your eyes? So why would we have been Tetzeh if we told her she can marry? She's an Anusa.
That's what I meant. Okay,
so I'm saying that itself is the chumra shechmarta aleha, not mitzad hadin.
That's weird. Okay.
What you're saying is when you get up there,
you're saying when you get up there
into the sky and you come up as a Russia, you tell HaKadosh Baruch, okay, I know you were trying to scare us, but there's really no hell, right? I mean, what's the point? I'm already dead. What do I need to go to hell for? You're not going to prove anything at this point. You're saying, tell the best. And, all right, we want to scare her into thinking, but when it really happens, we'll be matur. At least over there, nobody came back.
No. I don't hear that at any point that they're okay to do it. They're not okay anymore.
I don't understand what your problem is. We need two steps. We need to have a basis for our willingness to be mater this woman.
And that is?
That is the fact that she is going to research it well. How do we know she will do that? Okay. Because we have made her life miserable.
Right. And therefore we say, okay, and therefore now go get married.
Right. So what you're asking me is that, isn't that an internal contradiction? Because if we're telling her, okay, now you get married because we are okay the Kiddushin. So then, if you're okay the Kiddushin, that's great. So now he's never married, I got no problem.
Right.
But that's not a question. Because the question, the technical definition of that question is that it would be a chukka v'tulah. Beis Din cannot use mechanisms that are internally contradiction.
And therefore, what is it?
Okay. But that's only where, that's what they do. It's only where they say to her, we're going to be okay the Kiddushin from. What they say to her is not that. What they say to her is, you're an almana. Put on your mourning clothes with a you and go ahead and go and get married. after you finish mourning your poor deceased husband. So the whole thing, though, the game is, we keep the game up from beginning to end. We give her a heter as an almana. I say, but how can you give her a heter as an almana?
Because we could have been
because, no, because we create an akiras kedushin, which is called an insufficient almanas, but your is sufficient, but rabbon. The mechanism of giving that state is the fact that I can redefine kedushin as I want. So therefore, I am saying this was a kedushin that was good enough to be a kedushin, unless there's an 8F that came along and said that her husband died.
And unless the guy doesn't show up. Unless the guy shows up.
No,
I don't
have to say that. So you're right. This is indeed a fascinating mechanism. If you hold this in terms of Akira's Kedushin, it means I can redefine Kedushin at will. Since it's biyadi to be Akira's Kedushin.
Almost like an eagle for the
basin. In a sense, yeah. It means I can say what I want. Exactly. Okay. Other Rishani, the Rishani of Rishani, suggests that this is an Anansahadi. An Anansahadi has a din of wits. So if I say by creating this situation, I know, we all know, that no woman is going to put herself into this type of situation. So then I create an Anansahadi. Okay, so then I have witnesses for all intents and purposes. I don't need to be Yerker to condition. It's another explanation. Another explanation, which the Taisus here suggests, is very interesting. The Rish says, it doesn't add up to me that it's an Anansahadi, but I'll tell you what I think. I think, what's basically your problem? Your problem is that it's called Ein Beit Din Yochol Lachor Dabar Min HaTorah. Rabbanan, don't go ahead.
Anansahadi
means
Shorot HaChonim, that's what it means. Anansahadi means we see, we mean the
HaChonim. No, Anansahadi means people know. We are all witnesses. We're all witnesses to the fact that this is the reality of the human condition. We don't require people to inform us what we all know. That's an outside. We bear witness to this fact.
So that's a question.
Let's not discuss right now. We'll discuss it afterwards. We'll go back to it. So therefore, the Rish says that your question is, how can the Rabbanan be Eker Dabar Min HaTorah? It's not considered, fascinating tradition, it's not considered to be Eker if it's reasonable. In other words, look, it's true that the Torah had to provide for you certain standards upon which you can base procedures. So Avis is one of the standards of those procedures. You can't leave it up to everybody to decide, well, it looks good to me. I think that, you know, my husband really died, so I researched it on the internet. I'm going to get married. Okay, we understand. I'll be Shnei Adim. That's very good.
But you have a mina that don't trust two guys either.
Exactly. The Rambam says it's tremendous finish to trust eyewitnesses. We know all the research on eyewitnesses shows us that the whole thing is a complete joke. Eyewitnesses never end up saying the same thing. They always end up changing their story. It has absolutely no connection to reality. So there is the Rambam says Beferish, and hopefully you said the it's totally exeris akasa. We don't really believe two witnesses. Why would we believe two witnesses? They never know what the people to call it. No idea what reality is. That's amazing, Rambam. He says, okay, but the Torah says to go and proceed on that basis. He says, that's what he uses in the Vias, right? Why in the world should we trust some nut who claims to be a Navi? Right?
Well, that's perception creates reality also.
Right, those are already more philosophical issues. But Lemaisa, the question over here is, does the Torah tell you trust the guy because he looks religious, he's got a big black hat and a long beard and he does all the mitzvahs? I mean, he wouldn't be lying, would he? Of course not. Why wouldn't he be lying? People lie all the time. People are crazy. People believe in things that never happened. We're going to believe a Navi. Says the Rambam, look, it's like to Aiden. It's not that we really believe to Aiden. The Torah gives us certain standards. It gives us the standards of a Navi. This is what it means to believe a Navi. He does X, Y, Z. He meets these standards. You have a right to believe him. The moment that you lose that right to believe him, so the moment this guy has been a Navi his whole life, says something like, oh, I had a Nevius last night that says that you're allowed to tie your shoelaces with a double loop on Shabbos. We kill him. We shoot him. So now we know you're a liar. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell halakas to Nevi'im. So you're a liar. Fine. So my whole life, I mean, you've been doing everything I'm telling you. God speaks in my mouth, and now all of a sudden you know better. That's right. We never believed in you. We believed in the Torah. The Torah is not believing, we don't believe. And that's the beauty of the Rambam's whole approach. The entire thing is rational, goes according to certain standards. And they go give a Shnei Eid. Now, says the Rian, is the Rian's Kiddush. The Torah doesn't mean to basically exclude every other source of information, obviously. It's telling you on what basis you can proceed. If the Rabbanan see that, look, this makes a lot of sense. In terms of Ne'emanus, in terms of how certain we are about the situation, we're certain. We're even more certain than if we would have had two witnesses. So therefore, we have a right to make the takana, and it's not called Eiker. The Torah said, B'shulayfe, nothing else counts. The Torah didn't say that. It said, we give you no other procedure. Fine, so we create the procedure. To be Eiker, a government attorney, means the Torah says, no, you can't do that. And I'm saying, yes, I can do that. So, but over here, it's a getter of insufficient information. Brilliant, brilliant approach, Amish. Appellants. It's a whole different insight into a mechanism in Rabbanan. Sometimes there can be a mechanism in Rabbanan, which indeed has no basis in the Torah, but which doesn't come as being a hakasha, but it's an alternative mode of behavior, which the Torah didn't give us, which the Rabbanan have a right to give us. Because we have a right to trust Bezdin. So three basic approaches over here. Either the Rabbanan and the Klal have a right to do what they want when it comes to Kedusha because called the Mekadesh Adai to Rabbanan Mekadesh, or the approach of it's an Anan Sahanes, it's the equivalent of witnesses, or it's an alternative mechanism which is not considered to be a government out there. Fine. All right, so this must be the Pshat in the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah is all Miksha Achat. The Mishnah is not coming to tell you what the din is of a woman who got married. The Mishnah's come to tell you what allows a woman to get married. That's the point. So a woman who got married, I'll be tested. This is her halacha, and that's why she can get married, I'll be tested. Brilliant insight of Rabbi Zair that completely changes the way that you look at the Mishnah. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Take say mizeh umizeh. All right, you're telling me now that this woman loses both of her husbands, loses her ksuv, and so on and so forth. Omar Rab, lo shanu. This is only if she got married with one witness. Why should she lose her second husband? I mean, two witnesses say that her husband is dead. So what if he shows up? The witnesses say he's dead. Of course, they burst out laughing at this in Eretz Yisrael, but he's crazy Babylonians over here. The man is standing here. The husband's standing here. But you guys have become so halakhically oriented that you've said, no, who cares if the guy is standing here? The witnesses say that he's dead. You've lost your mind completely. What is that supposed to mean? Now, I mean, Lamai said, what does it mean? He didn't lose his head, Rob, so what is it talking about? The man is here. The only problem is, nobody recognizes him. So, here he is, with his license, but he looks nothing like the way he looked when he left. I mean, this guy's been through the ringer, let me tell you. I mean, he could be anybody, as far as we're concerned.
He himself announces himself?
We'll see. We'll see what the case is. But look, we haven't finished the case. The guy has shown up. We don't recognize him. He's finished his college potion. We don't recognize him. No idea who he is. There are two witnesses, and they do recognize him. And these two witnesses say, look, we know this guy from before. We have been with him the whole time. We watched the change in him. And we know that this is that guy. You don't recognize him, but we're telling you we do recognize him. You've been away for 30 years. We know who he is. So they say, we've been with this guy for the past 30 years. We watched him leave, and we were in business with him. We understood that he goes through Tzaras Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, you'll never recognize this guy. But this is the guy. So it's Atonu, the Loya Ditala. You guys don't recognize him. No, that's like Yosef and his brothers. What's the big kasha? Yosef recognized his brothers. They didn't recognize him. So you're going to say, must be that he didn't recognize his brothers. I mean, it's obviously Eva Yaker, Yosef, the Chav, Ehem Lo Ikiru. For Omer of Kista, people could change. Malamichi Atzav, Lo Chatimat Zakan, Uba Ba Chatimat Zakan. Okay, so this guy looks very different. No, so because of that, it's not him. Says, well, okay, but so then what are you, Trey betraying him. I understand. So you're saying, since we don't recognize him, says Rav, it's okay, she could stay married. But what do you mean she could stay married? We have over here a hakasha. We don't know, basically. We have two witnesses say he's dead. We have two witnesses saying, basically, he's not dead. Because by saying he's in, that's all they're saying, is that he's not dead. We're saying, but we know he's dead. So this can't be him. He doesn't look like him, and nobody knows. Why should we think that it's him? Okay, so you're saying, all right, let her remain married. Understand. If her husband sleeps with her now, from this point on, isn't he chayav an ashim talui? I mean, he doesn't know whether she is. Is she muteres or she's asura? So abba le'abasham talui. This is a little bit of a problem because, as Tosis points out, Rav holds of the sheet that says you're only chayav an ashim talui if you have chatichah mishteh chatichot. That means only in the case where there's one thing that's vaday asur, one thing that's vaday muter, you don't know which one you had. But a case of stam sofek, which is the case over here, you wouldn't really be chayav an ashim talui. Why over here Gemara saying you're chayav an ashim talui? I mean, that's the point. You're obviously not allowed to do something. You're going to have to bring a korban for it. Okay, so Tosfos goes into the explanation of the meaning of chatika b'shtei chatikas, which is really a machlokas in the Gemara. And he's saying that if it has to do with the question of efshel abarer, which is which, so then this would be the same thing over here. It's possible of arer, you can always be mazimenein, and so on. So this is the equivalent of chatika b'shtei. I just mentioned it so you shouldn't be troubled by the fact that we're not always chayvin ashim tolei on the sukkah. In this case, you'd be chayvin ashim tolei. So abarer ashim tolei koi. So how is it possible to say lo teitzei? Says Rav Sheshes, that's not true. Suppose she gets married to one of the two witnesses who say that the guy died. So what are we going to say? You're going to be chayav and Hashem Tolei. This is what, are you crazy? Because these two jokers come along and they say, this is the guy that I saw die in a car crash. I'm going to be chayav and Hashem Tolei. I know what happened. So I married her and I intend to stay married to her. So what's the problem? Yeah, but what about her? He goofed about Hashem Tolei. Fine, you know. I mean, she doesn't know. She's basically relying on you. How can she rely on you? And not being chayav and Hashem Tolei. He said, he goofed about Hashem Tolei Kayamah. So how can she remain married to a guy where every time she sleeps with him, she has to bring a korban, which obviously means she's being over on his servant's rights, at least be suffocating. So how could she do that? No, it's talking about the omeret, barili. She says, I am convinced that this guy is dead. There's no question. Look, I can't prove it to you, but in my own heart, I am convinced. There were too many signs. They said over things that only he would know as he was dying. It's got to be him. Okay, that's not going to stand up in court. But when it comes to an Hashem Tolei is a function of a person's own response. The Ashma means I feel guilty about what I'm doing. So in other words, there needs to be a Ribo no Kvo. There's only Ba Nakba in this case. The husband, the second husband, is one of the witnesses. He for sure has got no problems. I happen to know for a fact I watched the guy die. So I'm married to his ex-wife. Please leave me alone. If you have some kind of real information, so then you can be makrishmi and say I'm a liar. I'm telling you that this is the case, and I know that I'm married to a kosher woman. So what are you telling me? You can't stay married to her. You're going to be over-eastern. I'm not being over-eastern. And you don't know that I'm being over-eastern, so mind your own business. She, when they come to her and say, you have to get divorced, you're not allowed to marry this guy. You're married to the other. She says, what are you telling me? No, 100% of my heart that he's dead. You're telling me I can't prove it in court. I can't prove it in court. The court doesn't accept romantic notions about what I do. I don't feel any doubt in my mind whatsoever. Okay? So she says, she's over there as Borelli. So then I don't understand. You're telling me now the case when Rob said that Lo Teitzei, what is it referring to? It's referring to a case where the guy shows up, we don't know who he is. One of the witnesses that originally said he was dead and married her, she's convinced he's dead. And there's two people who say, this is a wild case, two people who say, we were with him for the past 30 years, we watched him change, we know that this is him. No. So what's the chiddush? I understand. What is Rav saying? Yochi Maila Meimra. There's a machlokas, which we'll see in a minute, in which Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi is more machmir. And even Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi would have agreed in this case, because Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi only said that such cases are usur if first the witnesses come that tell us that something is wrong, and then she went ahead and got married. So then Bezit said, now look here.
Against the witnesses.
Against them. She says, I know. There we're not going to, you should not get married. You're going to get married anyway. We're going to force you to get divorced. But if she was married, she's happily married, in this kind of situation where she says, well, I understand. I know that I'm happily married. Leave me alone. Mind your own business. Even Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi would have agreed that that's okay. Because all the Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi was talking about a case which Boedim, the Achar Kach Nisei, as we'll see in a moment. Aval Nisei, V'Achar Kach Boedim Lo, he never would have said she needs to drop her second husband if the Eidim came afterwards. Titania, what's the case? Shnayim Omrim Meit, Shnayim Omrim Lo Meit. Or, Shnayim Omrim Nidgarsha, Shnayim Omrim Lo Nidgarsha. Harezo Lo Tinaseh. So she can't get married. But im nisei lo teitzei. So the Tanakhama says, look, if she went ahead and got married, we don't force her to get unmarried. Obviously, where the conditions are such that nobody's being over on the Hashem Tolei, such as the case that you created. Ramanak Rabbi Yosef says, no, over there, the Bezdin told her not to get married. She went ahead and got married. Teitzei. Omer Ramanak Rabbi Yosef himself adds, ematai ani omer teitzei. Bizman shebo eidim ve'achar kach nisei. But I'm only saying this. If first the Adam came, and then she went ahead and she got married. Then I say, and that's the case in the Mishnah. The woman is happily married, and this guy shows up, who these jokers claim is her husband, that nobody recognizes. She's saying a bunch of jokers. So I raise her low, they say, even Rabbi Nachman Rabbi Yossi agrees to that. So what's Rav telling me? I mean, the Tanakhama holds even if the Adam would have come first. So Rav's got to tell me now, a chiddush, that if the Adam come afterwards, where nobody ever argued. Yeah, Rav was also talking about Ki kama rab is man shabo edim v'chakak nises. He was talking about where the edim came first. That's the case he meant. He meant if, but if we had shnei edim, then even if these guys come first with the putative husband that nobody recognizes, I'm coming to tell you that lo take say even if she went in and got married after the witnesses came. La fuki bin Rav Nachman Rav Yossi, I'm gufa coming to tell you we passed it against him. And that we go like the Tanakhama, that if the woman is satisfied, she has no pangs of conscience. She marries one of the witnesses who saw the guy die, then why should she get divorced? Even if she went in and got married now after the witnesses came. And Rav Nachman Rav Yossi is wrong. That's one way of understanding Rav. Or the other way of understanding Rav is Ikedi Amri. I'm telling you, it's only the case of the Mishnah where over there, look, they'd say, maybe that's the whole point. Taima, the Nisa, Bechakar Bo'edim. But had it been in another case, what, not like the case of the Mishnah, if the Edim would have come first, Bechakar Nisa, then indeed, they'd say, Rav is coming to tell me, Kaman, Kerman, Akam, Rakosi, he's coming to tell me, that's how we passed him. I don't know. Either way, it can't ask me, why is Rav bother telling me? I mean, there's two ways that he could be telling me a Kiddush. Either he's passing like Rabbanu, or that he's passing like Rav Menachem Rav Yossi. Masi Rav. So Rav asks for the following bright. Minayin she'im lo ratza dakno. How do we know that if the guy over here does not want to get out of the situation, that we just beat him up and get him out of the situation? So over there, we have a case of a Kohen. He wants to marry Nashik Tzulais. He says, you mind your own business. Am I kosher? Am I married to her, Midiraisa? So you're saying, but you're doing Averis. That's my problem. You guys mind your own business. How do we know we beat him up? Talmud Lomar, the Kiddush Tov. Torah says you have to make a Kohen Kodesh, whether he likes it or not. So the Kiddush Tov, Baal Korcho. Now, tell me what the case is over there. What's the case? A case where there's an Isser Mamish, and no, there's no basis. In other words, it's not that she gets married to one of the Aiden. It's not that she knows for a fact. She says, I'm clear about it, that he's dead. I understand. Tzricha l'meima d'dap. No, why do I need... Bezdin always interferes. What's that with the Kohen? Bezdin always has a chiyuv to see to it that mitzvah saket. So what do I need a chiddush over here d'dap? No. El alav, it's got to mean that the v'kiddush to is, even in a case where she was nisis le'echad me'edeh, always a Kohen, v'kam rabarili, and nonetheless katani d'dap. No. Beat him up until he gets rid of her. I mean, what else is the chiddush? This is a new Kiddush. Because of the fact that Torah says V'kiddush Tov, see to it that there's no question whatsoever that a Kohen is acting with absolute propriety. See from here that we take her out. True, but isn't that the point, that this is a special situation because of V'kiddush Tov? That's because he's a Kohen. It's a Kohen, a Shiny. I mean, maybe Enoch Inami. That when it says over here, no, it means since there is a big Chumrah in Kiddushas HaKohuna, in this case, we don't trust the person to say, Bori Lee, and I'm the one who saw it. If it wouldn't be good for anybody else, it's not good enough for the Kohen. Or, you know what, maybe the chat is, if I take my Dapno, maybe Dapno doesn't mean Dapno beat him up. Maybe Dapno means Dapno be'edim. It means wipe out his position. That's the chat. How do you wipe out his position? You go ahead and hire the detective agency. You go ahead and get the information. You look and see if you can find witnesses that indeed are makish, these witnesses, and so on. And that at the, I mean, obviously, if you find that and he's really alive, there'd be nothing to discuss. What it means is, find out what the situation was at the time that he married her. Did he marry her at the time he wasn't allowed to be married, or he's a Kohen? Then get rid of her. That's the point. Even though now she's Mutaras. So maybe that's the shot up. No, meaning stand up against him, slap him up, make life difficult for him. See to it that you have all the necessary information. That's the shot. Or, you know what? Maybe that case is talking about that first Edom came. And then she went ahead and got married, and it's going according to Rav Nachman Rav Yossi, who holds that if the Edom come first to create the doubt, by sowing the doubt in our minds, that's enough for us to prevent the marriage. If he went ahead now and married her, then even b'di'avad, he has to get divorced. Okay, I don't want to continue too far. This is a very, very complex stuff. So
looking ahead. It seems to me,
but we don't have enough Tzaris where we are.
No, I'm saying Lo Seitze could mean.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the other possible explanations. Right now, we're assuming Lo Seitze means Me'ashniya. That's why we're bothered. We have the other explanations, we can avoid all of this.
Leaving 2 weeks.
What?